Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I have 30 minutes to preach this message. It's already 11:30. I've never been able to preach in 30 minutes, so it's going to be an hour. This morning I want to talk to us about the second birth. The second birth. Starting in John chapter 3. I have a lot of scripture references. But I think this message this morning, the Lord laid upon my heart yesterday, just thinking about some things and just thinking about how important the second birth is. And not everyone may understand what I mean by the second birth, but I think most Bible-believing Christians would understand what I mean when I say the second birth. And I want us this morning, we're going to see the blessings of the second birth, and we're going to see the bonuses of the second birth. But starting at John chapter 3, reading through verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you would please bless our time. I know we've prayed already several times, but Father, we need your hand of blessing upon this hour. Lord, I want you to bless the children in junior church. Help them to understand the Bible lesson that they're being taught. Help them to have fun in junior church with the different things that they'll do. Thank you, Father, for what they learned in Sunday school. Please, Lord, continue to mold the hearts of these children. Lord, continue to guide them, drawing them unto Christ. I pray that the Word of God would take a root in their heart to bring them to the point that they realize that Jesus Christ is the best friend that they can put their life or put their faith in and putting their life in His hands. And I pray, Lord, that you would mold them and shape them into the next generation, Lord, that will continue to carry on the faith. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, Lord. This is not a subject that we take lightly. It's not something that needs to be glossed over or to be forgotten about. But Lord, I need your help to preach your message and to preach the plan that you have laid out for every single person to be able to enjoy eternal life. Father, I know I'm speaking to some that are already saved and already trust in the Lord, but Father, would you please speak to all of our hearts? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking about the second birth, as the Lord said, even as Nicodemus asked the question, how can a man be born again a second time when he is old? And obviously the Lord goes on to explain that that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Talking about the second birth is that spiritual birth that every single person must experience in order to be able to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said that you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. He said in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And like I even said in my prayer, I know that I am speaking to many that are saved and are born again, already trust in Christ as their Savior. But for the sake of the introduction, I do want to kind of go over what it means to be saved, what it means to have this second birth. And then we'll look at the blessings of the second birth, and we will look at the bonuses of the second birth, because I understand that not everybody in the sound of my voice is saved. Not everybody in the sound of my voice is trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There may be some that kind of grew up in church, maybe said a prayer, maybe got baptized, but they have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're still dead in their sins and trespasses, having experienced a religion or experienced a religious, a religious time in your life, does not mean that you're on your way to heaven. But I want us to understand God's plan of salvation. I want us to also rejoice in the blessings of the second birth, being born into the family of God, and looking at the bonuses as well. So as I think about this morning, just in John chapter 3, looking at being born again or the second birth, Jesus said in verse 14, Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the Lord Jesus says that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. He goes on in verse 16 to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have known people in my lifetime that were trusting in other things and but trusting in other people to get them into heaven instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the best way I can through love is to say that it's only Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not through Mary. It's not through Gabriel. It's not through Michael. It's not through any other angel, but it's through Jesus Christ and him alone. It's not about good deeds. It's not about being religious. It's about Jesus Christ. To experience the second birth is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And there's so much to salvation other than just being able to go to heaven. And we'll look at that. But Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through him might be saved. You know, there's been times when someone's been asked, are you saved? And the person not understanding, well, saved from what? Right? We understand, a Bible believer understands the term saved. Are you saved? But we're going to look at that because Jesus said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what? Because when you're saved from what? When a firefighter goes into a burning building and brings out people, he's saving them from a burning fire. He's saving them from death, right? And people are grateful. I'm grateful that I only live just a couple blocks away from the firehouse. I have one of the firemen, one of the EMTs, paramedics, lives next door to me. So, I'm thankful to have that in such a close proximity that if my house happens to catch on fire, they'll be there in a matter of seconds, right? But again, Jesus says that the world through him might be saved. All right, we'll look at that in a minute. We'll come to that saving truth, you know, being saved from what? But this morning, I want you to understand that eternal life is only for certain people. Don't get angry at me. I'm not talking Calvinism or anything like that. But even Jesus said that salvation was for certain people. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 2, because we have to understand what salvation is, what the second birth is, and who it's available to. So Mark chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 15 through 17. The eternal life, salvation, being for certain people. Mark chapter 2, verse 15, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Understand? The religious crowd, the religious rulers, were taken back by this. They were offended by this, and they asked Jesus' disciples, how is it that your master is eating with publicans and sinners? He's eating with the lowlife. He's eating with those that are rejected by society. He's eating with those that we don't even accept. I want you to notice, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, he's going to tell them who he came to save. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Salvation is for the sinner. It is for the one that knows that they're nobody. It's for the one that knows and understands, you know what? I am a sinner. There's nothing in my life that will help me to get into heaven. You know what? I can't help a religious person get into heaven. I can't help them understand that they are a sinner. Many people think they're good because I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed a bank. But listen, again, as a Bible believer, you understand that sin is sin. Sin is any and everything that is against the Lord. And again, because of sin, death passed upon all. All have become, or all are born sinners. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, the sinner. So when you think about salvation, the second birth is for sinners. Those that will admit that they are in need of a Savior. Those that will admit that they fall short of the mark of God. They fall short of God's perfection. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. So aren't you glad that salvation is for all? Because all have sinned and all are sinners. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, because we're born sinners, the wages, the payment of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. God gives that gift. He wants to exchange our sin for eternal life. He wants to give us that eternal life. He wants us to experience that second birth, because every single person is born once, but not everybody experiences the second birth. Everyone's born once, but not everybody will experience that second birth that has many blessings and many bonuses, and the greatest bonus being in the presence of God for eternity, being in heaven with the Lord, knowing that this world is not your home. Not everybody understands what salvation is. Not everyone understands the second birth, but the second birth, as Jesus said, it is being born of the Spirit. Now, somebody might ask, well, how can I have this second birth? How can I have the gift of salvation so that I can experience the blessings and bonuses of salvation? Well, the Bible is very clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Plain and simple. It's not believing in Mary and what Mary did. Mary was just a chosen vessel. She was just somebody who found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. God needed to use a woman in order to have Jesus be born into this world through a human line, through the bloodline of David, through Joseph, through Mary, who both were part of the line of David. But it's not Mary. Mary's not going to help anybody. Mary needed a Savior just as much as we do. It's nothing. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. And the Bible is very clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The wonderful experience of the second birth is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, laying down his life, shedding his blood for my sin, for the sin of the whole world, so that I may be accepted in the sight of God, because now I'm robed in the righteousness of Christ. And Romans chapter 10, verse 13 simply says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The plan of salvation is so simple, isn't it, that even a child can understand it. I was thrilled on the day that I led a five-year-old son of mine to the Lord. I didn't know if he would understand it, and I sure didn't want to try to lead him into believing he was and have him just repeat after me. But as the Lord helped me just to be able to talk to him and let the Lord deal in his heart and just be able to explain what salvation is and everything, it was a joy to see him on his own bow his head and ask Christ to come in his life and just see the joy in his face. What a wonderful privilege it is. I mean, even a child can understand the plan of salvation. If you have experienced the second birth, now you have been born again by the Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Look at that with me real quick. Keep a finger in John. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. And I'm kind of talking fast because I really want to get all of this in this morning. And time is short, but I'm glad that God is always moving in the hearts of people. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which I've done, because I have no righteousness. There's nothing I can do to make God happy enough to let me into heaven without Jesus Christ. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, being born again, experiencing that second birth through the Spirit of God, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, the Scripture is there. It's plain and simple. It's trusting what Jesus did for you at Calvary, trusting that there's nothing I can do. He paid it all. When he said, it is finished, he meant it was finished, paid in full. And every single person that puts their faith and trust in him, all their sin debt is nailed at Calvary. And they are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. They will not experience the second death. And we'll look at the second death because every person that experiences the second birth escapes the second death. But first I want to talk about the blessings that come with the second birth. The blessings that come with salvation. Number one, we have a relationship with God. Because of the second birth, you and I have a relationship with God Almighty. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Every person that has experienced a second birth has experienced that spiritual birth, being born into the family of God by the power of God. And you and I now have a relationship with God because as many as received him, received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We which were not a people at one time are now the people of God. We that were the enemies of God are now the children of God. We that were the children of darkness are now the children of light because we walk in the light as he is in the light and we have fellowship one with another. We have a relationship with God because of this second birth. We have peace with God. God allows us to cry out, Abba, Father. He allows us to come into his presence to spend time with him. He hears us. He knows us. He sees us. He loves us. But not only do we have a relationship with God, but the second blessing we have through the second birth is that we have security. You have a relationship with God, and because you have a relationship with God, you have security. You have security in your life. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13, because some struggle with security of salvation. Some struggle with staying saved, even though I mess up. Even though I do things I don't want to do. Even though I have thoughts I don't want to have. Can I keep my salvation? At what point do I lose my salvation? And before I read it, you as a Bible believer, you understand that we did nothing to receive salvation. I did nothing to earn it. So I can't do anything to lose it because it's Jesus Christ. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. God hath given to us eternal life. We didn't earn it. We didn't pay for it. No one else can give it to us. God. And this is the record that God gave to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, hath everlasting life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Those that have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, they do not have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You know what? God doesn't want anybody walking around with doubt. He doesn't want anyone walking around with fear of losing their salvation. He wants every single person that's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to know without a shadow of doubt that they're saved on the way to heaven, because it's the power of God. It's the hand of God that keeps us. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The wonderful blessing of experiencing the second birth, being saved, is we have security. No longer does a child of God have to wonder if they're going to go to heaven, if they've done enough good. Now, God does call us to do good things. He calls us to love people, to do good works, but not to earn salvation. God's given us the security through his word and through his power in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that relationship with the Lord. But the third thing I want you to understand, because you have a relationship with God and you have security, you also have victory. You have victory through the second birth. If you're in 1 John chapter 5, back up and look at verses 4 and 5. These are things that people struggle with. These are things that the devil wants people to believe. That he wants people to believe that, well, you know, you don't have a relationship with God because you're a sinner. Remember, the Pharisees and scribes said, how is it that he eats with sinners and publicans? Well, because he came to save the lost. He came to call sinners unto repentance. He came to fellowship with the sinner. He came to take up residence in the sinner's life, to help them have victory in their life, to help them to have security. You know what? No matter what happens in this world, I know that there's one thing that this world cannot take from me. The government may take my freedoms in this country, but he cannot take my salvation, right? Someone may come into my home and steal everything I have. They can't steal my salvation, right? So the devil is a liar, and he wants God's people to feel like they have no victory, they have no relationship with God, and they have no security in their life. But because you have a relationship with God, you have security and you have victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Listen to what the Bible says. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Everyone has their opinion on who Jesus is. And the disciples says, well, some say you're John the Baptist resurrected because of all the things that you're saying, all the things you're doing. And some say you're Jeremiah, you're Jeremiah the prophet. Some say this, some say that. And Jesus looked at his disciples, didn't he, and said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter boldly proclaimed, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of God. God's Spirit revealed it to Peter. You and I have victory because we have Jesus Christ in our life. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil's a liar. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have victory. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live without peace. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's given you victory because you are a child of God. You have a relationship with God. You have security. The devil cannot pluck any child of God out of the hand of God. Jesus said that you are in the hand of God. He said no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. But how does the devil do it? Gets up in here. He gets up into the minds of people and causes them to think things that are not true. Causes them to live in their thoughts instead of living in the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. But again, the fourth thing I want you to realize this morning is because we have a relationship with God, and because we have the security of God in our life, and we have victory through Jesus Christ, we have strength. You and I have strength this morning because of Jesus Christ, because of the second birth that you have experienced. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." There's not a single person who's not weak. Every single one of us in this auditorium, this sanctuary, we are weak. We wouldn't admit it, and we would even think, well, I can't think of any weaknesses. Because what do employers ask when you go to an interview and you're filling out an application? They want you to list your weaknesses and your strengths, right? And sometimes we may list, you know, one weakness. When I was a manager, I'd see a lot of applications, and sometimes people just list a weakness. My weakness is I always do what I'm asked to do. I mean, they instead of listing an actual weakness of, you know, well, you know, I struggle with, you know, computers. You know, I struggle with, people, they'll word it as though they have no weaknesses, right? No one wants to admit that they're weak, but who knows our weaknesses better than us? The Lord does, right? He knows our weaknesses because he wants us to know that we're strong. Paul had a weakness in his life, but the Lord said, in your weakness, there's my strength. You're made perfect in my strength. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Whatever it is you think you cannot do is a lie. If God's called you to do something, you can do it because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because I have a relationship with God, I have security of salvation. And because I have security of salvation, I have victory in life. And the way I have victory is by the strength of the Lord. And because I have strength of the Lord, I have peace within. Because you know what? Someone that's struggling has no peace. Someone who's struggling in their life, in their mind, in just day-to-day life, they have no peace because they're not resting in the strength of Christ. They're not letting the strength of Christ prevail in their life. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The Bible doesn't say it might, it could. The Bible says it shall. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You have peace when you have Jesus Christ. These are blessings that we receive through the second birth, a relationship with the Lord. Security, knowing that, you know what, my life is in the best hands that it can be in, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I have that security, I have victory. He's given me victory. There's nothing that I cannot overcome in my life. There's no spiritual battle that I cannot win because it's the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. He's my strength and he's my peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, there are some people that struggle with having peace with God. They've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they just can't seem to think that they have peace with God. There are times in their life where they think God's mad at them. Though they haven't done anything wrong, they think God's mad at them because of circumstances in their life, because of trials in their life. And the Bible says, being justified by faith, your faith in Jesus Christ, you're justified just as if you never did it. The court records are wiped clean. Every crime you committed in your life has been nailed to his cross. Every sin has been nailed to his cross. The Lord doesn't remember anymore. As far as the east is from the west, he remembereth our transgression no more. Iniquity no more. He never reminds us of what we did, but the devil does. But listen, you have peace because of Jesus Christ. You can experience the peace of. Don't allow the devil to steal your joy and peace. Remember, the Lord said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly." The next thing, the last thing I want you to think, the sixth blessing that you and I receive, because we have experienced the second birth, and everybody can receive these blessings who will experience the second birth, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, is a completeness, being complete. Some people are struggling because they're missing something. And people know there's something they're missing in their life, and they're trying to grab at everything this world has to offer to see if that will complete them and make them satisfied and fulfilled. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "For in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So as we think about this morning, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are coming into a relationship with God. And because we have a relationship with God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of the world, the creator of life, we have security. We know that our life means something. We know that we have something to live for. We know that there's something on the other side of this life, something far better than we can ever imagine. And because we have security, we have victory, because Christ gives us the victory through his strength. And when we're resting in his strength, we have peace. He's given us a peace to be able to face this cruel world, because we're facing it through the victory in Christ. We're facing it through our relationship with God. We're facing it through the strength of Jesus Christ, and he has completed us. We are complete in him. There's nothing you're lacking. There's nothing that we need to continue to seek for that's going to help us to win the battles in life. There's nothing that he hasn't given us. He's given us everything. He's given us every single thing we need, the blessings of the second birth. Because you know what? The first birth is full of travail. It's full of trials. It's full of heartaches. But the second birth is full of the blessings of the Lord. But along with the second birth, along with the blessings of the Lord, there's bonuses. Because you know what? It's a blessing to have the Lord on your side. It's a blessing to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that helps you to be in your right frame of mind, that helps you to just face each day. It's wonderful to know that the power of God is in you. The strength of Christ will help you to endure the thorns of life. God didn't take away Paul's thorn, but he gave him more grace. He gave him the ability to keep living life, to keep doing what God called him to do, because he was doing it through the strength and the power of Christ. And Paul understood that everything he needed, God would supply. God's completed us. But there's three bonuses to the second birth I want us to be reminded of. And for those that may not know, that have not come to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, have never thought about. Because again, when you ask somebody, are you saved? Saved from what? What did Jesus mean back in John? What did he mean when he said that he came into the world to save us? What did he mean when he said to save? What do people need to be saved from? I want you to think about the fact that the first bonus of being born again, the first bonus of experiencing that second birth, besides all the blessings, is that you and I have a future home in heaven. Every person puts their faith and trust in Jesus, they have a future home in heaven. They have a future home with Christ. So notice what Jesus said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." It's a wonderful thought to know that Lord Jesus Christ didn't just die for your sins, but he actually wants you to be with him. And he's prepared a place for every single person that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, every single person that will experience the second birth. He's prepared a place for them because he wants every single person to be with him. Every person that puts their faith and trust in him, he wants them to be with him. What a wonderful thing. Because you know what? There are some homes in this world that I've had that I'm glad I don't live in anymore. The first place that I lived in, I don't remember if I was still in high school or not, was a trailer. Paid $300 a month for that thing. I rarely stayed in it. It was a dump. But I paid for it because, hey, I've got my own place. I could say, hey, I live there. That's my place. And there's just places, you know, there's just homes that, you know, they do a good job. They provide shelter. And I'm not, again, I'm not knocking or talking down to anyone that may live in a home that some people wouldn't say, you know, it's a great home. But what I want every single person to understand, that the bonus of being saved is the fact that you have a home in heaven. You don't have to worry about it. There's a place that's been prepared. You don't have to get there and try to build it. He's already prepared it. So that's a wonderful bonus to the second birth, is I've got a home in heaven. And not only do I have a place in heaven, but my place is with Christ because he wants me to be with him. What a wonderful bonus that is to the second birth. The blessings are wonderful because the blessings are for this side of heaven. His peace, his strength, the victories that we have. But we have a future home in heaven with Christ. And the second bonus is there's a future with no sorrows. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. The second bonus to this new birth is the fact that there's a future with no sorrows. Now, we have sorrows right now, sorrows that we face, but don't let the sorrows of this world overtake you. Think about the day that's coming when there will be no sorrows because God said so. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, and God shall, not might, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There is coming a future with no sorrow, no death, no pain. And that's in the future home with God, with Jesus Christ. What a wonderful bonus to salvation. The blessings of salvation, the blessings of the second birth, but then the bonuses. God didn't have to prepare a place for us. God doesn't have to wipe away all the tears, but he does. And these are wonderful bonuses, but the third bonus that people need to understand. Because usually when we tell people, you know what, you can only go to heaven if you're saved. You can only experience eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what, there's a third bonus that some people don't think about. Wonderful, I mean, the streets of gold, I mean, the beauty of heaven, what it's going to be like. I mean, no sorrows. I'm looking forward to no sorrows, no headaches, no trials whatsoever, just an eternity forever and ever and ever of just joy and happiness, being with the Lord. But this third bonus, many people don't think about. What do I need to be saved from? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world through him might be saved. What do they need to be saved from? Why don't you look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. We're going to stay in Revelation 20 for about a minute and we'll be done. The wonderful blessings of the new birth, these bonuses of having a place in heaven where there is no sorrow, there's no death, there's no more crying, there's no more pain. But all of those that experience the second birth will never, ever experience the second death. Every single person will experience death, the first death. There are many people in 2020 that passed on. Some of us that had loved ones, friends that passed on. And we're looking forward to the day that we see them again because we know they were saved. We know that they experienced the second birth. But many have not experienced the second birth and they will experience a second death. Many have experienced death. They've gone through death's door. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. As John writes the things that he saw. Remember, John was caught up into heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for his faith. On the Lord's day, the Lord appeared to him, and John saw and heard great things, and the Lord Jesus said, write these things down. Write them down. Write them down so people know what's coming. Write them down so people know that they need to experience the second birth. Every person that's born into this world needs to be born into the kingdom of God so that they will not experience the second death. Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's coming a day where people will stand before the great white throne, great white throne judgment of God. And John, as he writes, he says that their faces, people fled, they fled away, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Those that stand before the great white throne, they have no place in heaven. In verse number 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. Small and great is not talking about their height. Small and great is talking about their position in life. Poor, rich, powerful, non-powerful. I mean, just every single person. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You understand, every person is going to stand before the great white throne judgment that's not a child of God. And their life is going to be judged out of these books. Their life has been recorded. Every deed has been recorded. Aren't you glad that everything you've done has been nailed to his cross? Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. It doesn't matter where that person died. I mean, you know, you can drive down the highways, you see memorials on highways and roads of where someone died in a car wreck. Everywhere a person has perished. In the seas, ships, those that perished in the Titanic, those that have perished by sharks. Doesn't matter. Everybody will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, and we need to be reminded of this. Those of you that are Bible believers, those of you that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you need to be reminded, I need to be reminded, you know what? I've been spared the second death. I've been saved from the second death. The Bible says in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. A lot of people believe that, you know, once you die, that's it. There's no more. Life is over. But God, who's the creator of life, tells us in his word, Jesus Christ had John write these words down so that people would understand the first death is not over. It's not the end. There's a second death, because the second death is the eternal separation from God for those who never experienced the second birth. Everybody experiences the first birth. Everyone's born into this world through their mother's womb. But everyone needs to experience a second birth through the power of the Spirit of God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, the lake of fire being the second death. A place of torment, a place where God is not, a place where there is no peace, a place where there is no victory, a place where there is no relationship with God. This morning, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've been saved from the second death. But if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are condemned to the second death until you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us again in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every single person in the sound of my voice needs to absolutely know without a shadow of doubt that they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because we have no idea when our time comes to an end. We don't know. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Everyone of us, we're living on a timeline. have no idea when my time runs out. But God does. Man, and God is so patient. He's so long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Listen this morning. Listen to me. If you are a child of God, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with God. You have security. You have victory. You have strength. You have peace, and you are complete in Him. Don't live in misery. Don't live in defeat. Don't live in fear. He's given you a new life, and He's given it to you abundantly. And think about what you have been given on top of those blessings. A home in heaven. A place where there's holiness. Perfection. A place where there's joy for eternity. No sorrows, no crying, no death, no starvation. He's given that to you. And He has saved you from the lake of fire. He has saved you from the second death. And maybe this morning there's somebody in the sound of my voice, whether in this room or watching live stream, that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's been laid out very simply this morning. God's word is very simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believing in what He did. Remember, He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Yeah, but I've gone to church my whole life. I was born in church. I was raised in church. So was Nicodemus. But the Lord said, you must be born again. Cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot experience the blessings of God. You cannot experience the bonuses of God. Listen, this morning, it ought to be something that's really heavy on our hearts because we're living in the last days. We're living in a time where time is short. We're living in society where the world is being told there's no God. Once you're dead, that's it. Why do you think abortion is so prevalent? Why do you think the killing of the elderly is so prevalent? Assisted suicide. People are being told, don't suffer through cancer. Just take your life and it's over. You don't have to suffer anymore. But there's suffering after that. When someone passes from this life to the next without the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering they went through on this side of heaven is a piece of cake compared to the suffering through the second death, the lake of fire. And what I want us to understand is God's people, as born-again believers that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've been spared. I've been spared. So you know what? God deserves for us to live in victory. God deserves for us to trust Him, to follow Him, to put our life truly in His hands and say, Lord, You are my all. You're my all in all. It's not just for Sunday morning. It's for Monday through Sunday, every day of our life. Again, never get tired. Go ahead and stand. Never get tired of hearing a salvation testimony. Never get tired of telling somebody else about Christ. Listen, that's why, I'll just tell you, that's why we're doing this. That's why I've decided, you know what, as a church, we're going to mail these out. It's a wonderful thing that we can actually mail these out because there's homes we'll never get to. There are people inside homes that will not open their doors to you. You know what? You won't even talk to you, but they'll go and get their mail. What a wonderful privilege that we have, because you know what? That's so true. That question, need peace? Peace comes through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that peace comes victory, comes satisfaction, comes completeness, comes victory. The fact is that as a child of God, you have the authority to tell the devil, go home. You don't have to be, don't come around me anymore. Don't speak to me. Don't give me lies. Go back home. But too many of God's people are allowing the devil to pick on them and allowing the devil to have them for supper. when the Lord says, I've given you victory. Live in victory. Hopefully every child of God, every person has experienced the second birth that's in here and in the sound of my voice. The Lord Jesus Christ has never failed. Father, we do thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful, simple plan of salvation. Father, I ask that you would please speak to the hearts of the people. I pray, Lord, that somebody somewhere today in the sound of my voice has listened to you as you have spoken to them through your word and as you've drawn their hearts to you, that they have called upon the name of the Lord to be their Lord and Savior. Father, what a wonderful experience it is to experience the second birth, to be born into the kingdom of God, to have Jesus Christ come into a life and to change it from the inside out, to truly give that peace that passes all understanding, to give the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. What a wonderful strength it is. And Father, just the victories that we have, but Lord, just the relationship to be able to come to you and to talk to you and to trust you and to follow you, knowing that, Father, you will continue to guide us faithfully through this life. Father, I ask that you would please speak to our hearts, for it's in Christ's name we pray. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer.